service. I'd like to welcome Minister Tyler Schmidt from Phoenix and Daniel Kane from Scott City as well. Glad they both made it. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us here. Let's start with our verse this morning.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:32.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any announcements this morning? Tim?
A few announcements from the track committee. First of all, just remember we're hosting the track meeting here February 20th and 21st, and we're going to need a courtesy committee to arrange night's lodging for those that will be traveling in. And so we have decided that we will do that on a volunteer basis. So if you feel that you would like to serve in that capacity, if you would speak to one of the committee, we'll plan on that. And if we have more than one, we'll deal with that too. And so that would be Chris and Vicki, Josh and Melissa, or Mrs. Bays and me. Talk to us and we'll get it going. Now the other two things, we have some new things to introduce. We have some magnets. They're the size of a business card. This one just has different emojis on it. This has a man with two paths and trying to decide which way to go. And then there's the QR code. So you put these, you take these, you put them somewhere on something that the magnet will stick to. Paper towel dispenser, a Coke machine, wherever you might find a place to put these. If anyone is curious and they scan the QR code, they will be taken to the Gospel Tract website for every tract, every language that's available. Then the other thing, and I know you can't see this from back there probably, but it's called Heaven's Confetti. And some of you have probably heard about that. They're little cardboard cardstock circles with a nice painting and a Bible verse or a saying on there. And on the back is that QR code. Many places you can use these. You pay your bill at a restaurant and leave your tip, leave one of these on top of the tip. You're at a clerk at the store and you buy something and give your change back and you can hand her or him or her one of these, okay? It's more than one tract, because there again, that QR code will take them to the website, every tract that's available, any language. So your conference quotas pay for these, so let's take them, use them, be responsible with them, but let's get the word out.
Thank you, Tim. Garen? Start at 9 o'clock through revivals here, and our new kindergarten teacher is Miss Lauren Smith. She'll be here this evening. I'm not sure. So, anybody else? Okay. If not, just a couple of announcements here regarding our revival. I think our pre-singing this evening will start at 7 o'clock. Does that sound right to you, song leaders? 7 o'clock on Sunday evening. And then for the next preaching services through the week here, we'll be starting at 7:20 with pre-singing. And we would like to announce preaching for now through Tuesday evening. We'll announce further. So let's invite our friends and neighbors and let's come back. I think there are a few spots left on the meal schedule yet, so you can consider that. I think we would like to get into your homes, as many homes as we can. So if you even if it's not for a meal, if you'd like to, or if your home would be open for us to just drop by sometime, you can let us know. And if we're looking to fill some spots, we may call you if we haven't heard from you. So just let us know what works for you, and we will try to accommodate that. Okay, if there's nothing else, I think we're ready to start with the song, and let's be praying for our service.
Let's take our Christian hymnals and turn to number 113. 113. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and poor contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that
impressed with a verse here a couple days ago in Isaiah, the second chapter, and it's a prophecy. Kind of caught my attention. The second verse there, second and third verse, says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And I don't know, I guess there was a couple things that impressed me out of this. One of them was that, have you ever thought that some of the prophecy in the Old Testament involved you? I guess that was something about it as I was reading this. It says, many people shall come and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. And I don't know why it struck me that way, but I could just imagine Isaiah. He was inspired with a thought. I believe he was inspired with something from God. And I don't think Isaiah fully understood this inspiration. I'm pretty sure he didn't. But God had a message for those people then. And I think it had to do with salvation. And it had to do with the spiritual kingdom that God had in mind. And that he was going to send his son to bring to this earth. And that spiritual kingdom, he says, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and she'll be exalted above the hills. And to me, that's what he was talking about there, was that spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. And then he said, many people shall go and say. And I thought about Isaiah, and you know, I don't know to him those many people. I don't know, that was something vague, that was something in the future, wasn't it? This whole thing, maybe he struggled to understand a little bit. He was bringing the inspiration that God had given him as one of the prophets. And you know, you and I, we're some of those, we're just a few of those many people, aren't we? The many people that have caught a glimpse of that kingdom, that spiritual kingdom, that salvation that God sent. And it says, many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. And I thought about that desire of the heart, that longing of the heart. For some reason, I was thinking about David there in the historical. There's a historical account in the Old Testament. I'm not sure which book it's even in, but it's a record of some of the strong, mighty men that were part of David's band, a part of his men. And as it's relating some of those accounts that happened, some of those mighty deeds that were done, some of those amazing things that some of those men brought or did, it recorded the time when the Philistines had occupied Bethlehem. David was in a cave. And it says, I just looked at this verse this morning, but it says that David had a longing in his heart for the waters of Bethlehem. And you know, the waters of Bethlehem were something that he'd grown up with. They were something that related very likely to his childhood, to his life. And there was a longing in his heart for some of that sweet water of Bethlehem, some of that water that was, it meant home, and to him it was just good. And some of his mighty men, it says that three of them, they actually at night they went and they entered Bethlehem with the enemy was all through the town there. They entered and they managed to get some of that water and they took it back to David. And he felt so unworthy about that he poured it out on the ground. But I thought about that longing that was in his heart. And I think about these words here, the many people that have said and that will say as long as time continues, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of God. And to me, there's just something precious about that. There's something beautiful. There's something about that. I see God in it. You know, I don't know why. I don't know why it was portrayed in that way, that the spiritual kingdom that Christ was going to bring was up on the mountain. Was it because that's where it would be visible? It would be elevated? It would be high? You could see it from a long ways? Was it because that we as humans, we tend to dwell in the plains? Our natural lives take place where it's easy. Was it because was there any significance in the fact that it was up? You know, when you go to the mountains, people like to go to the mountains, don't they? But when you get to the really high places, people don't live there. They maybe visit for a little bit, then they leave, then they go on. And so the mountains aren't necessarily, some of those high places aren't an easy place to reach. And I don't know if there's significance in that or not, but I think about that longing that has been in the hearts of man, always has, always will be, I believe. That longing for something that God placed there. It's something that we know is available. It's something that God has, that he offers this world. It's something that a tired, weary world looks to. And you know, we can observe it from a distance, but there's a longing to be closer, it seems to me like. There's a longing to be a part of something that God instituted. There's a longing to be part of God's spiritual kingdom. And I think about our hearts this morning, and I think about this time of revival that we're in. And you know, we can come together in a way like this, and we can have that thought in our minds, can't we? And maybe in a way, sometimes we all do that. We say, well, it's just another revival, and we, you know, life isn't lived in revivals. Sometimes we say, do we even need revival? Surely we need to stay close to the Lord all year, and I think that's 100% true, isn't it? But I also think about that part of, I wonder how God looks at it. Sometimes I wish I could see how he looks at some of these things. But as he looks down, does he see a people whose hearts are longing for something? Whose hearts are are reaching out, whose hearts are open to Him, does He see a people that have come together and are just simply telling Him, Lord, we need You. We need more of You. We need Your plan. We want to be a part of Your spiritual kingdom, and we open ourselves to You. And I guess as I think about it this morning, I believe that when He looks down here, that's what He sees here this morning. It seems to me like I feel it in my heart. I believe You feel it in yours. And God is faithful, isn't He? He's faithful as we come to Him in that way. And to me, this is a beautiful opportunity. This is something that we have an opportunity to just simply open ourselves and to see what He will say. Maybe there's even a little anticipation. You know, sometimes we fear what God might ask of us, but at the same time, there's something beautiful about feeling His nearness and about being close and about being revived, isn't there? And I believe that He has something for us. I'm inspired with that thought. I believe He has something for me. I believe He has something for you. I believe this morning that He has something for one of these brethren to share with us. And I think this is just a beautiful opportunity that we have today. Let's come to Him and let's ask Him to open the door for that this morning. Let's kneel and pray. Our Father, we just simply turn to You this morning, Lord. You are our God. You are the Creator of all things. And we know that way back there in the Old Testament times, Lord, You had us in mind. Isaiah didn't know who we were, but in some way You did. And You knew the need, You knew the cry of men's hearts, You knew our needs, You knew how You created us, and You also have made a way, and we're so thankful for that. And this morning our hearts are just open, Lord. We ask that You would come, You would just be here with us, You would speak through Your servant, You would speak to our hearts, and that together we can just simply, we can draw closer to You and draw closer to each other, and that we can just simply be inspired and that we can be filled with You. Just bless us in this way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's sing 417 in the hymnal. Revive us again. 417. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thank the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thank the glory. Revive us again. We pray.
church here this morning and see familiar faces. That was kind of neat. Appreciated the opening here this morning and the songs we were singing. And really, I didn't expect to preach this morning, but I guess that's the way it turned out. So we'll try to bring that which God, I believe God has laid on my heart. To introduce my message, let me go back a month or two ago. One of my cousins, her husband was fighting a health crisis. And I knew that she was struggling with it. And so I messaged her one day, and we messaged back and forth just a little bit. And it seemed like he could not get on top of the issues he was facing so that he could begin treatment. He was in the hospital. We know how those situations are. You start getting lots of advice. People say, well, you need to take him here, you need to take him there, you need to do this, you need to do that. And they were in a quandary. And she told me, she said, she made this comment. She said, my husband is a believer in open doors, waiting for an open door. And I thought to myself, you don't have time to wait for an open door. I didn't tell her that, but that's what I thought. Wasn't but a week or two later he passed away. And as I thought of that, I thought back to that comment. And no, that situation didn't turn out like we would like it to. But I was inspired with this thought of the open door that there was for that brother. It wasn't the open door that he wanted, that his family wanted, but there was an open door into heaven. And that inspired me as I thought about it. And it seemed like as I thought of coming here this morning, that rested on my heart again. And I want to turn number of scriptures we want to read this morning. But I want to speak this morning of the open door that's before us. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm going to read verse 9. Paul was speaking here. And he said, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. A great door and effectual is opened. Then let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to read verses 7 and 8. Revelation 3, 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Luke, chapter 4. Verse 18. Jesus here was in the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath day, and he was given opportunity to speak. And he took the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he read an old prophecy. And it simply, in Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And then let's drop down to, I'll just read through verse 21. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I want to read another scripture here, and then I have another one a little later maybe. Luke 11. Verse 9 and 10. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Open doors. Do we have them this morning? Is there a door before you this morning that is open? Or does it feel like that doors are closed? We live in a world that is not perfect. Jesus talked about that there in Luke 4. He talked about those that were brokenhearted. He talked about the captives. Talked about the blind. Talked about the bruised. And I'm gonna put it this way this morning, that he was talking about people to whom it looked like, it seemed like the doors were closed. That first scripture we read in 1 Corinthians, it talked about, it says, a great door and effectual is opened unto you, and there are many adversaries. We do face adversaries this morning. You do, I do. And it can be in any number of things. We face adversaries in our health sometimes, like I already mentioned. And it can seem like the doors are closed. We face adversaries financially sometimes, and the doors are closed. And maybe at times it seems like there is simply no way forward. That's what it seems like. We face that sometimes. It just feels like there's no way forward. Sometimes we face adversaries in our relationships with others. We all deal with relationships. It's part of life. We all have them. And there are times when those relationships turn sour. They do, unfortunately. And it becomes, sometimes we say it's a closed door. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried.
I've tried to open the door, and it won't. And it feels like there's a closed door to mend the relationship. You can go into many other areas, and I'm sure I can't mention them all this morning. Of those things in life, maybe our children are wayward. And it seems like there's no open door. But this morning, I am here. God is here to deliver and to show us the open door. This revival that we're starting this morning is a revival of open doors. The gospel is a gospel of open doors, brothers and sisters. There is, and I'm going to say that just that positive this morning, there is an open door set before you this morning. There is. We need not despair. We need not come into this revival saying, well, yeah, I've tried before and it doesn't work. It just never works. We don't need to say that. Because this morning there is an open door and effectual that's before us. Just like it says there in Revelations, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. No man. That is the hope of the gospel. That is the hope of Jesus Christ this morning. That is why Jesus Christ stood up in that synagogue and he said, I have come to preach deliverance. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, I have come to preach the gospel to the poor. You know, poor people today are people that face closed doors, just the way it is. I'm not here to champion poor people or rich people. But it's a fact of life. In a physical, monetary world, that if you don't have much money, you face a lot of closed doors. There's just a lot of options are not open. You have a little money, and the doors begin to open. Opportunities present themselves that are possible. It's just that way. But Jesus said, I have come to preach the gospel to the poor. I have come to present before the poor people an open door. One that's open and ready to walk through. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. Open doors. And he said this day is this scripture fulfilled. In other words, today is the day of open doors. The doors are open to us. What are some of those adversaries that we face today? I'm going to mention a few that I think of. One adversary to an open door today is our pride. My pride so often stands in my way to seeing and walking through an open door. Because it's not the door I want. It's not the door I thought. It's not the, just like Naaman there, when that door was open to him to go wash in the Jordan River and be cleansed of his leprosy, he said, no, behold, I thought. And finally, they convinced him, and you know, there was a door. There was an incurable disease, and there was an open door, and he was healed. Because he was willing, finally he was willing to relinquish his pride and walk down to that river and be cleansed. An open door. Our own will, which is almost the same as pride, our own will stands in the way so often. You know, it takes surrender this morning to see and to accept and to walk through an open door. It takes a surrender. So this morning, can we take hope and courage as we think of the open doors before us? You know, I think of us as a people, and I think of some of the open doors that we have that I find in my own heart sometimes so difficult to go and knock on that door. Sometimes it takes a little knocking. It takes a faith. It takes faith to open that door. But maybe I'm in a difficult situation. I don't know where to go. You know, I see a whole church full of brethren here. That's an open door. Go talk to your brethren. Humble yourself and just open it up and say, this is what I'm facing. It looks hopeless to me. You know what? That is one way to find an open door. I want to read a scripture out of Mark. Thought of this driving down here this morning, this account. Mark chapter 16. I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Mark chapter 16, this is the account of Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James. We'll just read it. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him, anoint Jesus. He'd been buried, been crucified, he'd been buried. They couldn't do anything because of the Sabbath. And so on the first day of the week, came. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Stopping there at verse 4. My temperament, if I would have been those women, I'd have said, there's no point in going to that tomb. It's useless. It's pointless. That's my temperament. There's a big stone in front of it. It's heavy. And we can't roll it away. I'm just going to stay home. But you know, I am impressed this morning. I've been many times as I've thought of this account. Those women knew that there was a door that was closed. They knew there were adversaries. And yet, that did not stop them. They rose up early in the morning. Early, it says, on that first day of the week. Their devotion to God, Their devotion to their master was enough. That they rose up early in the morning, they said, and they went to the sepulcher. And they said among themselves, they wondered, who's going to roll that stone away for us? I don't know the dimensions. I've heard it was a big stone. I heard it was heavy. And I've heard it wasn't, those stones weren't easy to move. But what did they find? They found an open door. Why did they find an open door? They found an open door because Jesus was risen from the dead. And that is why today we have open doors. There's an open door before us. I think I can safely say this morning, I know I can, that there isn't a soul here this morning that can say that that the door is not open. It is. If you find yourselves in a relationship issue this morning, there is an open door. It's called humility. It's called repentance. It's called forgiveness. Those are open doors that are open to every one of us. Jesus said one place in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." I think it's something like that anyway. That door of being a peacemaker this morning is open to every one of us. The door of repentance is open to everyone. The door of forgiveness is open to everyone, no one excluded. The door to heaven, to the gospel, is open to everyone this morning. Yes, there are adversaries. Yes, my will must go. Yes, I have to humble myself. But there is an open door. God has loved us that much this morning that He has opened a door that was previously closed for us to be saved. For us to claim that great gift of salvation that we don't deserve. He's opened that door, and no man can shut it. Not a one of us can sit here this morning and say, well, the door is closed. No, we can't, because it's not. It's open. It's wide open. Yes, we may need to begin to walk in faith. We may need to take the first step. We may begin to wonder who's going to open the door like these women did there as they went to that sepulcher. But the door is going to be open. I promise. May God bless us this morning. May He bless this revival. That it's a revival of open doors. And may we walk through those open doors. May God bless us.
I've appreciated the message this morning. My heart has been warmed. I'm looking forward to being together with you in this revival. Feel the Holy Spirit here this morning, and I appreciate that. Appreciate the willingness of the brother to share his inspiration. We've heard a positive message, very positive, and that warms my heart because God is positive. With God, all things are possible.
I was impressed with the account here in John chapter 5. I'm going to read this, say a few thoughts and a prayer. John chapter 5. We'll start reading at verse 2. It says, "Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years, and Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that cave. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." I don't know what that all was like there in that pool. I'm thinking this morning of a woman that I've seen several times in Yuma. And she sits in her wheelchair alongside the road and doesn't look like she could probably walk very well. And all of her belongings are around her, full of junk, just stuff. And I don't know this man here, him laying there for 38 years, if he had an accumulation of stuff. The scripture doesn't say that. But I can imagine he did. He had some stuff there. And as I think that of our lives in the challenges, the adversaries that we find that come up in our lives, are we laying at that pool this morning? Are we laying there with our stuff, with our worldly possessions, with what we think is right, our own rightness? Is that what we're laying in that filth, self-rightness? Are we, is there a certain stink about us? We're laying there. It impresses me this morning that Jesus is walking by each one of us. And he observes our situation, whatever that is. It could be very depressing, or it could be even inspiring. Whatever that is, he's walking by us this morning. And he cast his eyes upon us in a personal way. And he tells us just that simply. Maybe he asked that question. He's asked us that this morning. Wilt thou be made whole? Would you have another level in Christian living, he's asking us? Would there be something that you could grow in? Is there a spirit that's plagued you this last year? Will you be made whole of that? He's asking us this morning that. And then the beautiful thought that he had there, the statement he had for that man. He says, just to rise up and take up thy bed and walk. Leave that old place. Leave it. Sometimes we mire
for many years in Fillings. And I don't know you all personally here. But we're normal, aren't we? We're human. And our feelings get hurt. And sometimes our own perception of life is skewed. But God in His love, as He sees each one of us, that His eye of love reaches out to us, casts His eye upon us, and He gives us that message of hope. You know, it doesn't say here that this man said, well, wait a minute, I've tried to get up, and it hadn't worked. No, it just says that immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Isn't that beautiful? Positive. That as the brother brought to us here this morning, that open door is set before us, and the message has been given to us to rise up, take up our bed, and walk. May God bless us. Let's kneel for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You, a group of Thy people, and we thank You for the blessing of life. Thy Son was willing to come, laying down the cross for our salvation. And, oh Father, that we can contemplate the hope of salvation You give to each one of us. Oh Father, we just ask that Your Spirit would work among us, that in this revival time You could soften our hearts. Oh Father, we desire a soft heart, teachable. Father, be with each one. Thank You for the willingness of the brother to share. Bless him. Just go with us. The remainder of this day would be our prayer through Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing number 252 in the church hymnal. 252. Woke up humming this song this morning. Now I think I know why.
Those who listen to the blessed invitation, sweeter than the notes of angel song, chiming softly with a heavenly cadence, calling to the past. Thank you.
It's a beautiful message we've heard this morning. Thankful to God that this is true. It's the truth, isn't it? Let's all come back at 7 o'clock this evening. Let's stand for prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we come before you and we just thank you that you've been here with us this morning. And we just pray now that you'd bless all that's been said and done. We pray in Jesus' name.